experiencing the presence of God here with all of you this past week has been so humbling and so amazing. There's something truly special about gathering together just to seek the Lord. And we were, Pastor John and Diana, very happy to give a blessing to our hearts and our lives and our family for many, many years. And this past week, Pastor John has been teaching about the parables of Jesus in the morning and then walking in the Spirit in the evening. And the small devotional that I'd like to share tonight, the Lord put on my heart as kind of like a connection of the two. So let's pray. Father, we just come before you, Lord, humbly asking, Lord, that you would continue to move. Holy Spirit, Lord, we yield to your leading, O God. Lord, speak to us through your word, Lord Jesus. Lord God, that your Holy Spirit would move us, O Lord Jesus, would challenge us tonight, Lord God. Lord, that you would continue to fill us, Lord Jesus, with more of yourself, O God, that we would become less and that you would increase in us, O Lord Jesus. Lord God, we just humbly surrender to you, O God. Have your will, have your way, O God, in this time tonight, Lord Jesus, that you and only you would receive all the glory and all the honor, because you are the only one worthy, you are the only one deserving, you are the only one holy, you are the only one that is great and good and kind and merciful, and you are worthy of all of our praise and worship tonight. So Lord, we lift you up, Jesus. We lift you up, Jesus. And we know that it's only by your grace that we are here. So Father, have your way in this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we can open up our Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter 10. The book of Acts, chapter 7. And I love the Word of God. The Word of God is so real. It is true and it is real. And one of the ways that you know that it's real is because it continues to confirm itself over and over and over again. And in this chapter of the book of Acts, we are introduced to a man named Cornelius. And Cornelius was a centurion, a Roman soldier, a leader in the Roman military. Although he was a Roman soldier, the Bible teaches us that he feared God. He did good works by giving people alms, and he prayed continually to God. When I read this morning, it reminded me a lot about the lawyer's question that we talked about this morning. When Jesus talks about the parable of the Good Samaritan, the lawyer asked, well, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus told him, love the Lord your God and love others as yourself. And it seems like on the surface, this Roman soldier, although he was a centurion, although he was not Jewish, the Bible says that he feared God and he did good works. So it's kind of giving you this idea that he was seeking God, that he wanted more of God, that his heart was in the right place because it was turned towards God. And because of this, God sent an angel to him who told him to send Peter, and Cornelius obeyed God. See, when you live a life that is God-fearing and love others, God will meet you and give you direction to more of him. Cornelius was not a Jew. It wasn't in his right, so to speak, to have that experience with God. Yet God met him where he was because he sought after God. He didn't care about what his birthright was. He sought after God, and God met him where he was. In the meantime, God was doing a work in Peter's heart. Verses 9 through 23 tell us how Peter experienced a vision from God in which he was told by God to kill and eat an assortment of unclean animals. And in verse 14, Peter replies, by no means, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. To which God responded in verse 15 of chapter 10 in the book of Acts, what God has made clean, do not call common. And the word tells us that this happened three times, and it left Peter inwardly perplexed, because until Cornelius' messengers showed up and the Holy Spirit confirms that he is supposed to go with them without hesitation. So let's pick up right there in verse 21 of chapter 10. And it says, and Peter went down to the men and said, I am the one you are looking for. What is the reason for your coming? And they said, Cornelius, a centurion, an upright and God-fearing man, who was well spoken of by the whole Jewish nation, was directed by a holy angel to stand for you, to come to his house and hear what you have to say. So he invited them in to be his guests. I don't know about you, but that was a pretty good setup that these messengers just gave Peter about Cornelius. Cornelius, he's a centurion, yes, he's a centurion, but he's upright and he's God-fearing. And an angel went and all of the Jewish nation speaks highly of him, so much so that a holy angel directed him. It's almost as if God gave them those words so that they can tell Peter, hey, this guy is approved by God. Because if I was Peter, and I knew that a centurion was a representative of the political oppression that my people have suffered through, if I was Peter, and I knew that a centurion represented everything that was unclean, unholy, who I was not supposed to associate with, and somebody told me and somebody came to me and told me that I had to go to centurion's house, I'd say, absolutely not. Similarly to what he told God at first when he said, no, Lord, I've never eaten anything uncommon or unclean. But God worked in Peter's heart, and these messengers gave Cornelius a really great setup, and they said he's God-fearing. Everybody speaks highly of him, and a holy angel was sent to him. So Peter, in verse 23, invites them in to be his guests. The next day he rose and went away with them, and some of the brothers from Joppa accompanied him. And on the following day, they entered Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them and had called together his relatives and close friends. Verse 25, when Peter entered, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter lifted him up, saying, stand up, I too am a man. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many persons gathered. So now imagine this. Peter's like, okay, fine, I'll go meet with this one guy, Cornelius. But then when he goes into the other room, the word of God almost makes it seem like, okay, I go into this other room and now it's not just Cornelius, but now it's a whole other group of people that I'm not supposed to be hanging out with. I'm not supposed to be conversing with or being seen with. And he tells them that in verse 28. He says, and he said to them, you yourselves know how unlawful it is for me to be here, right? He says, it's unlawful for a Jew to associate with or to visit anyone of another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any person common or unclean. But God has shown me that I should not call any person common or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without objection. I asked them, why you sent for me? The first thing that I want to point out is that walking in the Spirit means obeying the Word of God, even when it's uncomfortable and countercultural. Walking in the Spirit means obeying the Word of God, even when it's uncomfortable and countercultural. Again, at this time in history, Cornelius represented the political oppression the people of Israel were facing. His identity represented the enemy of the Jewish people. It was not only countercultural, but it was unlawful to even associate with Roman soldiers, let alone an entire house full of Gentiles. But because God said, do not call what I have called common or unclean, God showed that to Peter. And there will be times even in our lives when God may ask us to talk to the unlikely, to talk to our enemy, to minister to those who we would not normally associate with. And we must obey the voice of the Lord so that God may be glorified, even if that means that we're uncomfortable, even if that means we break our social norms. Cornelius then explains to Peter why he asked him to come. And Cornelius tells Peter about his vision. And then in verse 33 it says, so I sent for you at once, and you have been kind enough to come. Now, therefore, we are all here in the presence of God to hear all that you have been commanded by the Lord. Verse 34. So Peter opened his mouth and said, truly I understand that God shows no partiality, But in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. Thank God, because that was once me and that was once you. God, thank God he shows no partiality. Thanks God that he seeks those who would not normally be underneath of the original covenant. Right? Thank God that he seeks those who are seeking him, those who fear him. And verse 36, as for the word he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. You yourselves know what happened throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee after the baptism of John, that John proclaimed how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit. With what?
Holy Spirit.
With the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree, but God, hallelujah, raised him on the third day and made him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who had been chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who?
Everyone.
That everyone who?
Everyone.
That everyone, let's all say it together, say everyone.
Everyone.
That everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Walking in the Spirit, point two, means that our lives and our words and our actions reveal Jesus. That is the most important thing that we can do as believers. For the way that we live our lives to reveal Jesus, the way that we speak to reveal Jesus, the things that we do for others to reveal Jesus. This is why the Holy Spirit came, so that he would reveal Jesus. He would reveal the truths that would be unknown to us, that he would bring us to the truth and explain to us and reveal to us all that Jesus had spoken. That is one of the purposes of the Holy Spirit. So walking in the Spirit means that our lives, words, and actions, they reveal Jesus. And when we begin to reveal Jesus, that's when the Holy Spirit falls. Verse 44, while Peter was still saying these things, while Peter was literally still talking, he was revealing who Jesus was, what he did on this earth, how he died for our sins, how he rose from the dead, how he then appeared to those who were chosen, and then how he admonished everybody to preach the word. So as Peter was still revealing Jesus, verse 44 says that the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word. And I had to ask myself, Lord, if the Holy Spirit isn't moving, or if the Holy Spirit isn't falling, if the Holy Spirit isn't evident, are we all hearing the word? While Peter was still saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word. And the believers from among the circumcised who had come with Peter were amazed, because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out even on the Gentiles. For they were hearing them speak in tongues and extolling God. Then Peter declared, "Can anyone withhold water for baptizing these people who had received the Holy Spirit just as we had?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus. Then they asked him to remain for some days. So the first point of walking in the Spirit that we learned through Peter, it means obeying the word of God even when it's uncomfortable and countercultural. Secondly, Peter shows us in this account of in the word of God that walking in the Spirit means that our lives and our words and our actions need to reveal Jesus. And thirdly, walking in the Spirit means not only do we reveal Jesus, but then we make disciples. He says, we're not stopping here. We're not stopping at the revelation of Jesus. We're not stopping at the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now you are being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Walking in the Spirit, that's what we learned from Peter. We do also learn a couple of things from Cornelius in this passage too, though. We learn that from Cornelius' life, knowing God and loving others is not enough without revelation of Jesus. He feared God. He had a respect for God, who God was. He loved others. He was very generous with alms, the Word of God says. But it wasn't enough without the revelation of Jesus, without the revelation of who God was. And so many times we think that coming to church, coming to camp, it's enough. Knowing about God up here in our minds, knowing about God intellectually and giving to others, serving, whether it's doing pots or being a counselor, maybe that's enough. But it's not, because we should continuously be wanting to have a greater revelation of who Jesus is. The second thing we can learn from Cornelius is that we should have big faith to expect big things. I think you had mentioned that in one of your messages, Pastor John. Cornelius didn't know if Peter was even going to show up. He sent his messengers. He did his part in obeying God. But he didn't know that Cornelius, that Peter was coming. But he took several steps to faith. He believed big for what God told him. And before he even knew if Peter was coming or what Peter would say, he said, you know what? I'm going to fill my house with people that I know need to hear the word. And that took a lot of guts. Because if Peter would not have shown up and here his house was full of people, what was he going to say to those people? Hey, guys, never mind. You know, forget it. We invited you here for nothing. So it was a big step of faith that Cornelius took. And that was not faith in Peter. It wasn't faith in the people. It wasn't even faith in himself. It was faith in God. God sent an angel to speak to him, and he obeyed. And because he had faith in God to expect for big things, he had a house full of people that not only were impacted by the word that Peter spoke, but they also had a revelation of Jesus and were filled with the Holy Spirit. And in the same way, when God speaks to us, we need to walk that out in obedience and have faith to expect for big things. When God says that he's going to move in our job, we begin to take actions being ready for God to move at our job. When God says that he's going to do a work in the hearts of our children, then we should take action to make sure that we know that God is going to make work in our children. It's like that farmer, right? We often hear the story of the farmer. That he prepared for the rain, even when the rain wasn't in sight. And lastly, we learn from Cornelius that when your heart is open to a revelation of Jesus, the Holy Spirit will come and fill you. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. When our hearts are open to the revelation of Jesus, the Holy Spirit will come and fill you. And I guess I wanted to just speak an encouragement to those of us who maybe have been feeling, well, I've gone to the altars and I've sought the Lord and I'm still not feeling, or, you know, I'm not feeling God the way I want to, or I'm not experiencing what I'm asking God for me to experience. Don't give up. Keep your heart open to a deeper revelation of Jesus. Because when you keep your heart open for a deeper revelation of Jesus, the Holy Spirit will come and fill you. And it's not just that your heart is open on Monday night and Tuesday night and Wednesday, but then Thursday, you're like, forget it. I didn't feel it Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, so I'm not even going to try Thursday, Friday, Saturday. It's a continuous openness to a revelation of Jesus. And so many times, you know, those of us who grow up in church, I've grown up in church my whole life, and I've always heard of Jesus. It's easy to kind of know it up here and think, okay, well, I have a revelation of Jesus. I know who Jesus is. But we would be foolish to think that we've had a revelation of Jesus, and it stops there. Mm. There's so much more about Jesus. There's so much more to Jesus. There's so much more that he wants to reveal to us, more than we could ever ask or think or imagine.
Yes.
So we've never arrived. It's impossible for us to arrive. So my encouragement is for us to keep our hearts open for the revelation of Jesus. And the Holy Spirit will come and fill us.
Yes.
We bow our heads tonight. Hallelujah. Maybe you're in this room tonight. And you've been walking with the Lord for a really long time. And maybe you are like Peter, and you are already walking in the Spirit, and you are obeying the Word of God even when it's uncomfortable and countercultural, and you are revealing Jesus, and you're making disciples. Can we, if you feel like you relate to that, can we just ask the Lord for more tonight?
Yes.
And maybe you relate to Cornelius tonight. Maybe you think, man, I know about God, but maybe I haven't experienced him the way I should. And you want to open your heart even more tonight to a greater revelation of who God is. Can we just ask God for more tonight?
Yes.
Right where you are, just ask the Lord for more.
Yes.
Holy Spirit, we want more of you, Jesus.
We want you, Lord. We need you,
Jesus. It's all about you, Lord Jesus, we need you more, Lord God. Help us, Lord Jesus.
Come, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, sweet Lord God.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord God, for your word.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your word.
Lord,
we need you,
Lord
God. We need you, Lord Jesus. Lord, a greater revelation of who you are, Lord God. Lord, whether we've been walking with you for 50 years or whether we've been walking with you for 5 days, God, no matter where we are in our walk with you, we just need more of you, Lord God.
Amen.
Holy Spirit, have your way in us. Have your way through us, oh God. Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
We thank you, God.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
We thank you, Lord.
Yes, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
All I want is more.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Jesus.
Oh, Lord, you're not just the messenger. You are the message.
Yes.
You didn't just come to tell us, Lord. You came to show us, Lord God.
Yes, Jesus.
It's all about you, Jesus. It's all about you, Lord. Oh, Jesus, show us your glory. Show us your glory, Lord. We want to see your face, Lord Jesus. Oh, Holy Spirit, reveal more of Christ, more of Jesus. Oh, Lord, more of your saving power, oh God. Jesus, show us, Lord. Oh, Lord, make us willing, Lord. Make us ready, oh God. Make us open, oh God. Empty us of self, oh God. Oh, fill with yourself, Lord. Help us to desire you more than anything, Lord. Oh, God, stir our hunger and a thirsting in these days, oh God. Oh, Lord, let there be just a real desperate heart for you, oh God. Oh, Lord, that we would seek after you with everything, Lord. Lay everything aside. Put everything in the rearview mirror, oh God. Run after you with everything we have. Oh, Jesus, help us in these days, Lord. Help us, Lord. Time is short, oh God. Lord, redeem the time, Lord, while there's still time, oh God, we pray. Oh, Lord, don't let us miss out on what you have, oh God. Oh, Jesus, let us be a part of what you want to do in these last days, oh God. Oh, Lord, that revival that's coming, Lord, don't let it pass us, Lord God. Oh, Lord, stir us. Stir your people. Stir our churches. Stir our pastors, oh God. Stir our husbands. Stir our wives. Stir our moms and dads. Stir our sons and our daughters, oh God. Oh, Lord, stir those who've studied and who've learned and who've prayed hours and hours and hours. Oh, Lord, those who've preached and who've taught, Lord God, let us not do so and miss out ourselves. Oh, Lord God, a fresh anointing of your Spirit, oh God. Oh, Lord, let your light come and purify, oh God. Let your light come, oh Lord, and blind us to the world. But, oh God, give us a revelation of the Spirit. Oh, Lord, help us to see beyond the natural, oh God. Oh, Lord, the supernatural, Lord God. Signs and wonders accompanying our services. That the Holy Spirit would rule and reign in our churches, oh God. Oh Lord, we don't want to have a dead church, oh God. We don't want to have dead meetings, oh God. We don't want to just talk about things that happened 100 years ago. Oh Lord, do these things again, Lord. Do them again, Lord. Oh Lord, help us not to rest till we see, oh God, the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Oh Jesus, do it, Lord. Do it, Lord, we pray. Oh God, do it, Lord.
Hallelujah.
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 Oh Jesus. Oh Lord God. Oh Jesus, bring a spiritual revolution. Oh Lord, a spiritual revolution in our time. Oh God, Lord, do it, Jesus, we pray. Hallelujah.
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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus. Hallelujah.
Well, you've heard, I think, a few times this week, again tonight. Camp is not the end of the journey, it's part of the journey. And what God is doing here, maybe you're longing for more and you feel like you missed an opportunity because, well, you're going to be back home and not be in this place where we're able to really dedicate our time. We're surrounded with reason to seek after God. But this isn't the end when you leave. God wants to still work and still fill you. in your church, in your living room,
Hallelujah.
In your car,
yes.
Wherever you might find time to hide yourself and to draw near to Him. So don't be discouraged, be encouraged. God is working. If He's put that holy dissatisfaction and desire that you want more, that's a God blessing.
Amen.
And so it's not something to feel like I want more and God disappointed. That's a gift from God that keeps us still pressing in and seeking after Him.
That's good. Thank you.
So take that with you. Take it with you tonight when you're back in your cabin. Take it with you when you go home. Take it with you in your schools and on your job, that this would be a continual seeking after God. And when we seek Him, we will find Him. When we search for Him with all our hearts. Thank you, Lord, for your word.
Thank you,
dear God, for your spirit. Thank you, Lord, that you desire to pour out of your abundance. Fill our lives. Lord, that your spirit might be like wells springing forth from our innermost being, oh God. Have your way in us, Lord, we pray. For your name's sake,
amen.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Number 62. And would you stand as we sing this? And then when we're done, please don't sit back down. We want to let our staff finish up their responsibilities here so everybody can be part of whatever happens next. So, number 62. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, people of His choice. Let all to whom He lendeth breath now in His name rejoice. For love's last revelation, for rest from condemnation,
Praise the Lord.
Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. God bless you. We're dismissed.